evening, Tsala. Good evening. Hi, Tsala. Welcome to this week's episode of The Health Plug, courtesy of the Whole Duty of Men podcast. I must apologize that we are not able to share an episode last week because our guest speaker was down with a cold. But thank God, tonight we have him in studio to come talk to us about the medical approach to depression as a very complicated condition. So here he is, guest speaker. Please introduce yourself.
Hello, hello, good people. My name is Frederick Kijakabu, or should I say Dr. Kijakabu?
Yes, please. I love that.
So I'm a medical doctor at Scottish Livingston Hospital, and I'm very happy to be a host.
Am I a host? Yes, guest.
The guest on this show. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Dr. Fred, this is your first interview as a doctor.
And how does it feel?
You know,
it feels good. The long years of studying, finally paid off. And I'll say that I'm excited, to go out there and be helpful and save lives.
And I know you are passionate about this more than anything else.
Definitely.
We'll continue praying for you. Mm-hmm. It's a blessing having you as our guest speaker and just as a human being. So today we're going to talk about depression, right? We've talked a bit about depression, but I want us to now start talking about the solution to depression. Let's talk about how to bring an end to depression. So how would you describe or define depression from a medical perspective?
Okay. So depression, I'll say it's, most of the time we use the word depression loosely. So depression, what we refer to when you talk about depression. It's also saying most of the time we use the word loosely or collectively, but most of the time what you are referring to in the medical terms, we are talking about what's called major depressive disorder or major depressive episode. That is the depression that you are referring to.
Mm-hmm.
The word depression just means, having a low mood. I can say you are depressed, meaning that you are having a low mood temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are talking about like major depressive disorder or major depressive episode, which we term like the big depression, that's what we mean. So in simple terms, it means, when someone is in a phase of low mood for at least 2 weeks medically, and that is characterized by a few symptoms, and they have to be at least more than 5 symptoms, of which we'll talk more about.
So someone has to be diagnosed of depression.
Yeah. So before you can, just like any other condition, you cannot say you have asthma up until you see a doctor to say you have asthma. Likewise, major depressive disorder or depression, you have to be seen by, a medical professional to say, okay, you meet the certain criteria for us to say that you are depressed.
So just because I've been feeling sick for the past 3 days doesn't mean I'm depressed.
No, you might be feeling depressed. You might be having that low mood. That's why I was trying to emphasize that we have this term, which is a major depressive disorder, which is the one that we are mostly referring to.
So it's not wrong for me to describe my emotions for the day.
No,
I was
depressed today. Because you felt a little bit low today.
Mm.
Yeah, for whatever reason, that there might be. So you need a doctor to be sitting down with you and asking you a few questions and looking at that criteria and saying, okay, do you meet those symptoms or those several things that needs to be there?
And what are those symptoms?
Okay. So the first symptom, it's low mood. That's the first thing,
So you should go for like 2 weeks with that mood being low.
Being low, okay. Yeah. So the first one is low mood. The other one is lack of sleep or sleep changes.
Mm-hmm.
So sleep changes can be either lack of sleep or sleeping excessively.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Either one.
The other one is about interest. So it's about, changing interest. You know, you see that all of a sudden or progressively, things that used to interest you no longer interest you.
Mm.
So if you are someone who like to go to church or like to go to Sunday soccer,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden you are just withdrawing from your friends and mm. you are not as lively as a socialite mm. as you used to mm. be. If you are this, now you are becoming the opposite of that.
Okay, let me chip in by giving an example. That I know you like gaming.
Mm-hmm.
So probably you'd go for some time without you being interested in gaming, then that can be a symptom. Mm,
mm-hmm.
mm, mm. What is it that I like? Okay, you're still commenting on that.
Yes. So, but as you know, it's very important that we recognize that you cannot just single one symptom out mm. and then say I have depression.
Mm.
That's why you have to have some a collection
mm.
or a collective symptoms. That's when, for some period of time, that's when you can say that you have major depressive disorder. You know.
So far, we have change in appetite, sleep patterns,
uh-huh.
loss in interest.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth one.
The other one, it's about food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So appetite. You know. So,
I thought we mentioned that.
No, we didn't.
Okay, we talked about sleep changes,
uh-huh.
interest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then now we're talking about appetite.
Is this the third one we're mentioning? Okay.
So this
I'm a bad listener.
Yeah, because I guess sometimes you know, appetite can be part of your interest. You know, mm-hmm. if you're so yeah, some of us we are guilty of that. So appetite also can go both ways.
Yes,
can be. You know, you eat too much or you are eating, you know, little. So you can have overly eating or, you know, eating just a little. And as a result, people have weight changes as well.
Mm-hmm.
So either gaining weight or losing weight as a result of that.
And none is better than the other.
And none is better okay. than the other, yeah. And just to reflect back on that other thing, on interest. It's the one that is mostly prominent because it's also one of the most impactful because the person just loses interest in a lot of things,
mm-hmm.
you know. If it is that, and then as a result, it will just open a can of worms
mm-hmm.
or open the Pandora's box because if you're at home, you know, you have your wife who's used to having all sorts of, you know, this attention from you.
Yes.
You used to watch movies together, you used to do this, you know.
Play with the kids,
on even the sexual life. You know,
yes.
sometimes it can just be like no interest at all.
It just evaporates.
Just goes like mm. that. You know, yeah. Another one.
So it affects your social life also.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
It does. It does. Mm. Yeah, it does. So another one is guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a symptom of depression.
It's a symptom. Yeah.
Okay. This is the fifth.
Yeah, this
symptom
is the
about, yes.
guilt. It's about you having guilt or worthlessness,
mm-hmm.
feeling worthless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes people, you know, will think, what's the purpose of life? Why am I living? You know, why was I born in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because of how difficult and how tough life is,
mm-hmm.
or whatever it is that might have triggered that depression will make it even worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So most of the people who are depressed will just feel worthless. They feel like they don't deserve to live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why some of them will, you know, end up taking away their lives, unfortunately, because they just see no point whatsoever to live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because nothing just adds up in their life, so they don't see any reason why they should live at all. So that is the guilt or worthlessness part.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one is concentration.
Mm-hmm.
So this is
Is suicidal thoughts also okay?
Yeah, it's also part of it. Oh, maybe I should just talk about it because I mentioned it. Yeah.
Yes.
So suicidal thoughts or they call it suicidality, you know. So having suicidal thoughts, you know, it goes hand in hand with being feeling worthless, you know. Yeah. So
like you don't see light at the end of the tunnel.
No, not at all.
You're hopeless.
Yeah. You know, and mostly, you know, people who are depressed, they are always going into a vicious cycle, you know. They can have just one instance in life that, you know, changed their life around. They got depressed, and then now everything, you know, for example, like they lose interest, they lose, you know, their social life, you know, it's, you know, messed up. you know, their sexual life is messed up, their relationship is messed up, at work they don't have interest to do work anymore. So as a result, other things are falling apart in their life.
Mm.
And as a result, they're getting even more depressed. And then it goes on and on and on and on.
Meaning that you can be depressed because of something that went
very small.
At work, right?
Yeah.
That it affects your home life, your social life, your okay.
And then if you don't attend to it, and then it will just become, you know, there's domino effect where one brick starts falling and then everything falls.
Yeah. More like a wildfire also.
Yeah, true.
Yes.
Yeah, it just spreads like that.
A spark, then it causes a wildfire.
And then at the end of the day, then someone feels like, there is nothing that is holding on in my life. Every pillar of my life is shaken. There's nothing that is going on here. So now they will then start having suicidal thoughts. They'll start having suicidal thoughts. And then also, there's two things. You can have suicidal thoughts, or there's also suicidal attempts. These are two different things. Someone having just thoughts coming, popping up here and there. And then there are someone who is having thoughts and acting on the thoughts, like planning them. Like, okay, now they're buying pills. If they want to drink Panado, they're buying pills, they're buying knives. No,
they're even writing letters.
Even writing wills and stuff like that. Yeah, that's what just encompasses the suicidal part of it. You know, yeah. It's a very sad thing. It's a very sad thing because...
And I wonder why I just laughed.
Yeah, I know, but I understand. I understand at the same time, you know. Yeah, because a lot of people are going through, you know,
a lot.
Yeah, more especially during these times, and especially after when COVID hit, a lot of people were depressed. And it went on and on and on and on. A lot of people didn't seek help, and then it got worse and worse. Other people, you know, ended up taking away their lives. But it's something that could have been prevented, you know. So, unfortunately, that's we don't want it to go to the extent where someone ends up then, you know, taking away their lives, because most of the time it will go there. Someone will end up, you know, drinking a lot of alcohol, and then they'll have health effects as a health effects of, you know, drinking a lot, heavy use of alcohol. They'll start taking risky choices, decisions, start drinking while they're driving while they're under the influence of alcohol, and then, you know, and then at the end of the day, it predisposes them for, you know, dying at a time that they were not supposed to, on top of the suicidal thoughts that are there. Yeah. And then the last few symptoms that are there, it's about concentration. So here, someone, you know, you find it very difficult for you to concentrate in something that you... You know, in anything, basically, you know, you zone out a lot. You know, if you are working, you're an accountant, sometimes you are looking at the screen, you are typing in your invoices and everything, and then you zone out, and then you are going to snap out of it after 5 minutes, like you're just staring at the screen, but you're not doing anything, you know. Concentration that is, you know, sometimes very difficult to maintain. Yeah, you know, and it affects work life, it affects social life, it affects everything, you know. Yeah, so even at school, it's terrible, man. It's terrible. And then another one, it's about something called this one is more about the personality and the aggressiveness of someone. You know, sometimes it can make someone aggressive. Or it can make someone what something that we call, you know, psychomotor retardation, where someone is just there, you know, they're just slow. Sometimes you can find, you know, at a very
and both severe, extremes are not good.
Not good at all. Sometimes you can find someone who is very depressed, they are there at home, 2.5 When you get into that house, it's just upside down. You know, because they don't have interest to sweep, to do anything. They're not even bathing, they're not doing this and this and that. And sometimes they don't
have, it's like the all energies have been drained away.
Gone.
The energy levels just dry.
Yeah. And you can also have something called, you know, agitation, where someone is just all hyper and aggressive. You know, this is where people sometimes project what is going on, you know, that depression that they are facing. Then they start projecting it at work. Sometimes you wonder why people are so aggressive re tota gore batho ke eng ba le ready go lwa hela because people are having problems o tsana mo kombing o duala monna a kombi wa go garumela ga go manya dipotsa re go manyetsa people have problems you know that's how it manifests so these are some of one of the few or the few just to mention a few of those symptoms if you have at least five of these going on for at least let's say two weeks then we will say that you most likely have depression
So when someone has been diagnosed of depression what treatment are they then given
okay so you know luckily or I'll say you know on the good side depression is preventable and also there are several things that can be implemented to help you know help
depression
someone
is
preventable yeah.
And that was also a question I was going to ask
question,
okay,
yeah we'll address it then. So but in terms of the help that we give to people this is you know it goes a long way because this is the mind we are talking about this is the mind that is sick you know it's not just like you are having like diarrhea or you're having flu and then we just give you, you
a
know,
prescription
and just like that this is the mind and it takes long the treatment that we have we can have what you call non-pharmacological or non-pill thing we don't give you any pills non-pharmacological which works wonders and then
where you are not given pills it's quite effective
it's quite effective. Okay and then we have the pharmacological part so the non-pharmacological one or the one that we do not give pills there are several things that we can implement so the first being counseling you know just sitting down with the person who is having depression either the doctor or just the family member whoever they are just sitting down with them and you know giving them you know hearing you know, just listening to them or what's troubling them maybe you can help them so there's something counseling just giving them counseling you know and trying to advise them here and there.
Oh so you don't only listen but you also have a word to say
but what is very important is listening to what they're saying and listening to their story you know and not interjecting them because you know you really have to understand what is the reason you know the real problem behind all this because you know, most of the time there is going to be just one problem that led to all of this to collapse.
One spark
just one
that
thing,
led to the whole world
either
fire.
At work or a relationship, whatever. And most of the time when you address that thing, it
going
can,
back to your example of the brick, you said just one brick, then the whole wall collapses.
Yeah, it's called the domino effect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So there is that, and then there is psychology sessions. There are people who are taught. Psychologists who are taught to deal with all these conditions of the mind, being anxiety, depression, or bipolar, all of these conditions.
Even schizophrenia?
Even schizophrenia, they do. And there are other things like other things that they can implement called things like cognitive behavioral therapy. Mm-hmm. Those are, you know, terms that the psychologists and psychiatrists, doctors of the mind that they use.
Is this what clinical psychology is all about?
Yeah, something like that. So, but that just this is just the psychologist or the counselor or the psychiatrist, which is the doctor that specializes in conditions of the mind. They are just trying to talk you through it, basically, and it's quite effective when you are trying to get to the root of the problem and showing the patient that it's actually not the end of the world. Mm. Sometimes it seems like it, but sometimes you know there's really a way around around everything. Yeah, and then if it fails, you know, if it fails, then that's when we pills come into play now. So pills, there are several pills. There are pills, different types of pills, and we are giving them at stages. So firstly, we give you one pill, and then if it you know if you respond quite well we continue or you know if it doesn't respond quite well we can then add more and more and more to increase the strength of the pill or if it doesn't and then we add another pill and another pill just like that.
This is catching my interest.
Yeah.
Are these pills called antidepressants?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So these pills are called antidepressants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then this antidepressants I don't want to talk more about the jargon, you know, but
yes,
they have different types.
Okay.
There are things like, maybe, you know, viewers at home can go and research for them. Mm-hmm. So there are others called SSRIs,
mm-hmm.
called selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors.
Okay, that's medical now.
There are other SSRI, the SSRNRI,
mm-hmm.
yeah, the other ones called TCA.
Mm-hmm.
So just getting there were antidepressant TCA, antidepressant mm-hmm. SSRI, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the most common one that we use in Botswana, the common names, things like amitriptyline, you know, imipramine, you know, the other names like fluoxetine.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of the pills that are common in the government setting.
Mm-hmm.
But in the private, there are other advanced pills and more effective.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about SSRI, jalo, then you do a ciprofloc, jalo. Yeah.
So if you were to just simplify mm-hmm. how antidepressants work,
okay,
what would you say?
So antidepressants. So basically, what antidepressants do, as I've said earlier, that this is the mind. You know,
mm.
When someone is depressed, it's when you are getting into the deeper part where now we are zooming into the brain,
mm-hmm.
you know, the brain, how it works, there are several hormones or chemicals that are released in the brain that mm-hmm. excites someone or that helps someone to be happy.
Like dopamine
mm-hmm. and others. And these are happy hormones, you know, and just as after you are eating, you are excited after you eat your
after
favorite
a good
food.
Meal. Yeah. What's your favorite meal, by the way?
Ce soir.
What do you think my favorite meal is?
That's a tofu.
It has to be some form of bread, pastry,
pasta. Yeah,
anything made of wheat.
Uh-huh,
perfect.
Yeah.
Avocado nyana.
And some seeds, flax seeds.
Come on, I'm not that healthy.
Okay. Yeah. So
I like chia seeds.
Yeah. So what happens? These antidepressants, what they do, they just help the brain just to produce just a little bit of those happy hormones to help someone be, you know, happy and not be, you know, all depressed.
Mm.
Yeah. Just in a nutshell.
Just in a nutshell, right? Yeah. And you mentioned the fact that depression is preventable. That caught my attention.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that. Because,
yes.
How can you prevent, I don't know, because you said that you have to display 5 or more symptoms for you to be diagnosed as someone who's depressed.
Mm.
So, I don't know, how does that involve any form of prevention?
You mean like the prevention part? Okay, so prevention, it just like any other condition, it depends on the cause.
Yes.
You know, so we can go back a little bit and say what is the cause, what could be the possible cause of this depression.
Mm.
So for you, there are several causes that are preventable,
mm.
and then there are those that are not preventable. Mm. This is where you can attack it. Like, you can attack the preventable causes and then, you know, avoid going down that rabbit hole, that path.
So this is the person as an individual, not with the help of the clinic, because for you to be helped by a medical facility, you have to have displayed a number of symptoms, right?
Mm.
So this is you call up being alone and helping yourself.
Yeah.
Because you see where it's going.
Yeah.
You see that things are just turning out bad.
And sometimes you can see, you know, sometimes you can see that, hey, I'm starting to have, you know, this low mood and everything. And the moment you do that,
yes.
The moment you see that, you can quickly seek help before it gets to a bad extent.
So,
you know? Yeah.
So that's why you said it's
preventable.
Yeah. Okay. Era, you were saying something before I interrupted you.
Yeah. I was just alluding more to the causes, but there is a question about causes that you're going to ask me, so
I did not have that in mind.
You didn't have
yes. So you want to talk about the causes?
No, I can just list them.
Are we done with the prevention part?
I feel like it'll be more understandable or more applicable if I talk about prevention after mention in the process.
Okay, so do so, please.
So depression can be caused by several things, you know. Mm-hmm. But as I've told you, this is the mind, you know. So any life changing event or situation that happens, there's a potential to cause depression. So I'll just mention a few.
Any negative, right? Even positive.
Negative.
Yes, okay.
Negative, yeah.
You imagine you're getting a new job.
Even you can get a good job, but it's stressing you. And that's where it starts.
So just any negative part.
So anything that brings too much stress on you. So things, most of the things that stress people or cause depression, these are health conditions that people go through. People are diagnosed with several conditions, and then they cannot hold it, and they cannot accept or cannot believe, or they are not yet, their mind are not yet at a place where they can accept that they have these conditions.
And they automatically see death coming their way.
Yeah, and it's too much for them. They can't take it, and then it plunges down from there. You know, there is that. And then another thing, life situations, like, for example, death of a family member. There's a death of a family member, death of a spouse, right? Things
loss
like...
Loss and grief.
Loss.
Even a heartbreak.
Whoa. Relationships, heartbreaks, losing jobs.
You know, I know someone who died because of a heartbreak. Yeah, continue. But you shouldn't be laughing.
You shouldn't be, you know, but you are trying to make life happy. Eh? Okay, yeah, and other things that can put you at risk is the family, the type of family that you are brought up in.
Toxic families.
Children who are brought up in families that are very toxic are predisposed or at a risk of developing depression because they've been from so long. Now, when the...
Bear in mind that we have international listeners.
Oh, yeah. So, I'm sure about that. Because most of the time, you know, they have been subjected to all these negative comments, you know, and their parents are not seeing any good in them, you know, and this makes them feel less about themselves from a young age.
Worthless.
Yeah, and when they get to around 19 years, 20 years, then when they see that now I have to be a responsible young man, then they see that, hey, there's nothing I can do here. People have been raped. There's a lot of tragic things that can happen to people, you know, that can cause depression. Another thing is somebody's personality can predispose them of being depressed. People who have low self-esteem, people who are anxious, people who worry a lot, people who stress a lot, people who are...
So all those are genetically inherited, is it?
Yeah, there are some personalities that are genetically inherited, and then there are some personalities that we just, you know, collect them along the way as we grow, you know. Yeah, but someone who thinks a lot, somebody who's an overthinker, they are at a higher risk of getting depressed, because even when something happens, a normal life challenge,
just the slightest inconvenience,
and then, you know, or maybe they have applied for a job and they get rejected once, they feel like, oh my God, my life just collapsed. But there's someone else, someone who have applied for 15 jobs and they've been rejected. But then they just take life as it is, you know, and say, okay, I'll try next time. Yeah, stuff, things like that. So when you get it, and then other things like when you have a family member who has been depressed before, it predisposes you of being depressed. This is like genetic stuff where now, where it runs in the family, because when you go back to what I've told you about the happy hormones that are produced in the brain, sometimes there can be some faults here and there in our brains that, you know, sometimes those happy hormones are not produced that much, which predispose someone to getting depressed. So the mother was depressed because of that. Now it passes on to the to the daughter, to the son, etc., etc. So when you look at those things, there are several things that you can say, okay, there are several things that can be prevented, like planning things well financially, so you are going to avoid financial constraints,
which can lead to depression.
You know, taking care of yourself health wise, it will prevent things like diabetes, hypertension, which later on in life, when you are diagnosed with, you get depressed and you know, take away your life. Things like, you know, good management of stress, you know, coping well with relationships, with breakups and all that can actually help you quite a lot. Yeah, it goes a long way. And most importantly, having a support group, someone who you can talk to, you know, going to church, having a support group, people who when you have problems, you can, you know, talk to.
And as you're mentioning this, I keep thinking of the importance of child guidance, how important it is for parents to rightly groom their kids.
True.
Because you can groom your child to know what to expect, to know that life is not a machine, that a wish granting machine. You don't always get what you want. Hence that way they are already ready that there are disappointments coming their way, right?
True.
It's important to teach kids to take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So everything goes back to how parents raise their kids.
True.
Right. Instilling in the children
the right
that the right principles and just a sense of worth. Child guidance, ne? So yes, now that we've talked about, I believe we've talked both about the causes and the prevention part of depression. So any last words to our listeners, Dr. Fred?
Okay.
You're still not getting used to this, right?
It's new, but you know, I'll get there. I'll say depression is real. Depression is real, and depression kills, you know, in as much as other conditions and other things you're always saying, you know, HIV is real, you know, diabetes is real, diabetes kills and everything. Depression also it's a major thing. It's a major, it's an upcoming, or say the prevalence or the occurrence of it, it's, you know, increasing slowly but surely, more especially that you are having even more life challenges that are coming, and people are having poor coping mechanisms and poor coping skills. So it's real, and a lot of people are taking away their lives day in, day out. A lot of people are taking bad decisions because of depression. A lot of people are drinking alcohol. A lot of people are leaving the faith because of the depression. And
leaving faith, the faith as in like spiritual life.
Spiritually, you know, some end up thinking that, you know God has, you know, forsaken me, you know, there's no use to go to church then.
Luckily we've talked about this in our previous episodes.
But you know, amidst all of this, there's hope.
I wanted you to end by a word of hope.
There is hope.
That's right.
There is hope.
I love that.
There is hope. As I've said, that there are several things that we can implement. And also, as individuals, we have to be our brother's keeper. Brother's keepers, you know. Because when you, the moment you see your brother, your sister struggling, talk to them. Yeah, talk to them. Regardless of whatever stage that they are in that low mood or depressed state, talk to them, help them where you can. And sometimes just listening to someone and not saying anything, it's all that it takes for someone to, you know, take off that pressure from them, you know. And there's also hope that there's help out there. You know, there are counselors, even as the doctors, we are there. And it's very difficult, but because these mental issues are not really that much, you know, taken care of. Or
as much as they should,
as much as they should.
Yes.
But a lot of us are having troubles with that, and there's a lot of stigma revolving around it, you know, that
I wanted us to talk about stigma, but now we don't have much time.
We don't have much time, you know, but it all goes back to us accepting that, you know, the mind, just like any other organ, it can fall sick, you know, and the way it falls sick, the symptoms, it's a they manifest by the change in our personality, character, and in different ways. But at the end of it all, you know, God is the one that knows everything, and God is the healer of all. And there is also comfort in his arms.
Amen.
High
five. And the one thing I always keep reminding myself when I feel hopeless about any situation I'm going through is my case is never beyond repair in Christ.
True. Very true.
So listener, whatever you're going through, remember that your case can never be beyond repair in Christ. He loves you, and he knows you. He knows every single thing about you. He loves you to the core. Yes, and he cares. Rather, not a single sparrow falls that the Father does not notice. So how much more of you who is more worthy than many sparrows. He loves you so much, he would die for you. Mm. And that's actually what he did, right?
He knows the number of the hairs
in
your head. Amen.
So we hope you were blessed by tonight's episode.
Uh-huh.
Stay tuned, stay blessed. Till next time we meet.
You should invite me more to...
Did you enjoy
it? I did.
Oh, okay. I see you. Bye, friend. Bye-bye. May God bless you.
Okay, bye.